Welcome to my IELTS classroom, the podcast where two English experts talk all things IELTS. I'm Shelley Cornick.
And I'm Nick Long.
And today we're going to be talking about comparing. When may you need to compare in your IELTS test? What are four ways to compare well in writing? And how can you use a couple of those ways in your speaking test? Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good afternoon. Not too bad. Feeling quite tired after a busy weekend of moving things.
Yeah. Did you get it all across?
Not yet. We've still got another few heavy things, which we're hopefully going to do this week. And we're still waiting for the sofa and TV unit to be delivered. So hopefully by the end of this week, we'll be there.
Hopefully next time we record, You'll be in your new place, maybe.
I hope so. Yes, that would
be very
nice.
And the week after, I'll be in England.
Yeah.
And it'll be, behind the scenes, a whole new version of the podcast.
Everything's changing.
Although for people listening, it'll be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Talk about changing. Last week, Nick, I got a call from my niece at like 8:30 in the morning. I was like, that's a bit strange. So I was like, hello, Molly, you okay? She said to me, Auntie Shelley, we've got two cats. And I was like, yeah, Molly, I know you've got two cats. I was there when you got the two new kittens, Minky and Misty. She's like, no, we've got two more new cats.
Oh, wow. Four cats.
I'm like, are you joking? What? Nick, my sister has now got four British short hair kittens. I don't understand why anybody needs four cats.
Maybe just like a big family of love and happiness.
I think that's what it might be. I don't know. It sounds, three kids, four cats sounds like a sitcom to me. But anyway, yeah. And the funny thing is they all, for me, they all look the same. The two new ones are just two new little grey ones. So they're like,
can't tell the difference between them, no?
Not really. Although once my sister pointed out, she said one, the dad of the new two, one of the dads was chocolate. Which actually is quite a nice colour for a cat. So actually, when you see one of the grey ones compared to the other grey ones, it does look kind of lilac-y. I think her name's Violet. But yeah, so that's the news from our family. So when I get back, so I'm going to stay at my sister's house for one night when I get back. So I'll be in her cattery.
Company of cats.
Company of cats. Right. So I guess everything's changing then. My sister's got new cats. You've got a new flat. I'm about to be moving back to England. For those of you who did not listen to the episode last week, there have actually been some quite big changes for us, haven't there? Behind the scenes at my IELTS classroom. If you're interested what those things are, then I would recommend that you go back and listen to our episode last week where we explain everything. If you are a long-term listener, I don't want to call you old, but somebody who's been with us for a while and you've just had a quick look back at some old episodes and realized that they are missing, you can find them all on our new Patreon, which is www.patreon, so that's patreon.com/ My IELTS Classroom. If you don't know what that is, well, you don't need to. It only really matters if you're interested in finding the missing episodes from our back catalogue. We got one subscriber last week, which, again, we're not really doing this to get subscribers. We're only doing it so that we can make all of our previous episodes available. So again, if you've been listening for a while but missed last week, you might want to go back so you understand where they've gone and why we did it. But today we are returning to service as usual with, I hope, what will be a useful episode, Nick.
Yeah, hopefully.
How to make comparisons. So, like always, we will start from the very beginning. So, you know, I would say there is certain things which all IELTS students should be able to do, I think, before they go into the exam in terms of their language. Being able to make good comparisons is definitely one of them, because I think this is something which appears pretty much all the way throughout the test. So if we think about the whole test, where might be some parts of the test where the student may be asked to make some comparisons?
Well, definitely in part three of speaking.
Yes.
Definitely.
There's a lot of questions there, aren't they? So, like, I mean, what type of things do they ask you often to compare in the part three of speaking?
Well, it's usually to compare two different things, like, for example, living in the countryside or in the city. Or it could be comparing the past to the present.
That's the one I think is quite common, isn't it? They miss, you know, how is something different today? Or is it the same as the past? Yeah, the types of things, I guess, in part three, they often ask you to compare countryside and cities, as you've just said. Gender, they're sort of like men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Do they talk about the same things, that kind of thing? Young and old is the other.
Yeah, that's quite a big comparison topic.
They use that, you know, do young people make cakes in the same way as old people? I don't know.
Or
but
is
yeah,
it different?
I mean, definitely in part three. And I guess also in part one, some of the questions can be some basic kind of compare questions.
Basic comparison questions, yeah.
Yeah. So definitely in speaking, you're going to have to, I would say, you're going to get at least one question that asks you to compare somewhere.
Yeah.
I would also say then in, if you are an academic student, 100% being able to compare has to be part of your preparation because...
Task one.
There are two major types of task one. Well, there's four types, but the two major types are charts that show change. So, you know, that could be any type of chart, actually. Line graph, two pie charts can show change as well.
Mm-hmm.
And charts which ask you to compare. So they would be charts that just show 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no increases, no decreases. So that whole report would need to be completely full of compare language.
Yep.
Where else might we need it?
You might be, compare two maps from the past and the present, or from the present and the future plans in task one.
That
academic.
Is true, actually. Yeah, the maps are actually also a type of comparison, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
In reading, you may think, well, why do I need to understand comparisons in reading? I think a lot of true, false, not given questions focus on comparison. So I'm thinking there's a reading about cork or trees, and it's something like cork trees are the oldest or the biggest or bigger or something like that. So, you know, as you're reading, you're going to have to check where is the comparison in the text and does it match what I've just read.
Yep.
I'm not sure about listening, actually. Listening may be the only part of the test where comparisons are not checked, although sometimes in multiple choice questions they focus on, you know, is something bigger or smaller, or like there can be some comparison there.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to focus on today, though, at least at the beginning, is the language that you might need to make comparisons in an essay.
Right.
And if we think about our essays, what type of essay may require us to make some comparisons in our body paragraphs?
To what extent? Essays, definitely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing about the funny thing about IELTS is that it's based on basic academic principles, right? So if you look at the type of essays you are asked to write in IELTS, they are the same type of essays that you are asked to write at university, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of all the sort of types of essays which are really famous, advantages, disadvantages, discuss both sides, blah, 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 a really typical type of essay is a compare and contrast essay, right? Where you may be asked to directly compare two things. I've always thought it's kind of interesting because IELTS does ask you to do that, but they usually ask you to do that in the context of a to what extent essay.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't say, I don't know, they won't say compare and contrast the benefits of government spending money on roads and rails.
Mm-hmm.
What they'll do is instead they'll say government should spend more money on railways than roads.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll give you sort of like a positive for one of the versions, and then they'll ask if you agree or disagree.
Yeah.
Or they may ask something like, some people think that government should look after old people and not families, for example. To what extent do you agree or disagree? But really, those essays are essentially asking you to write a compare essay, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Because they're asking you, should it be railways or roads?
What
should
are the benefits of railways and roads?
Yeah. Should it be the government or should it be family? You're going to have to compare both of them in order to answer those questions. So I definitely think that some to what extent essays are essentially comparison essays in disguise. What's another type of essay, one that we were talking about a few weeks ago, Nick?
Any essay that asks you to talk about a social change.
Yes. So we spoke about this recently, didn't mm-hmm. we? So those social change essays, mm-hmm. why are they essentially, why is it going to be really important to compare in those?
Because they're asking you basically to say how something was different in the past compared to now, aren't
exactly.
they?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I mean, I think we've got that really great episode we did. I think it was back in August now. Feels like yesterday. Mm. But we went through some essays, you know. So for example, you know, a simple essay like, today more people are travelling than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And what are the benefits? Well, what we want to focus on in that essay is not why people like to travel in general.
But why more people today like more to travel.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so to understand why more people today travel, you're going to definitely want to make some comparisons
mm-hmm.
back to the past. What has changed? How is life different? How can you compare today to 10 years ago or 20 mm-hmm. years ago?
Yeah.
Definitely. I think they are the clearest examples of essays which ask you to make a comparison. I would also say that some discuss both views or discuss both sides essays, those that give you sort of like opposite approaches or opposite opinions to the same problem, you are also, I expect, going to have to make some sort of comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that you can say, well, you know, this is better because it's different to the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the, I think, book 13, Cambridge Questions, some people say parents should encourage their children to take part in organised activities in their free time. Others say that it's important for children to learn how to occupy themselves on their own. Discuss both views and give your own opinion. So to answer that question, well, you should be thinking in your head, well, what is the difference between a child taking part in group activities and a child sitting at home learning how to be on their own? What's better about each approach, essentially? So I would say then, really, the chance of you having an essay where you need to compare is quite high.
Mm-hmm.
It's not every essay, but I think it's...
That's a lot of them, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. So let's have a look then at how we can do this, because I've noticed that making comparisons is something that my students struggle with,
mm-hmm.
Mostly because of the language that's needed. So what I've done is we're going to present different ways of comparing,
mm-hmm.
which move from simple. Now, when I say simple, students are like, I don't want the simple, I need a 7. Just because it's simple, it doesn't mean it can't get you a 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's just simple because there's less chance of you making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I would usually say, take the simple version, but then, you know, if you add to a simple version, nice lexis,
yeah.
nice ideas, relevant, that's mm-hmm. going to take you to a 7. So yeah. the first contrast is a type of contrast or type of comparison that doesn't actually require you to use any comparison language, or what Nick and I would call comparison language from teaching, right? So if we imagine then the essay, which I, the question I mentioned before, government should spend more money on railways than roads. To what extent do you agree or disagree? Well, the first way we could show some comparison is to literally have a sentence that describes the truth about railways
mm-hmm.
and then a sentence that describes the truth about road.
Right.
And the meaning of those sentences is in contrast, I guess we'll say. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple. So let's think about, if we think about railways, Nick, let's think about the environment. Which one do you think is better for the environment? Like, spending money on railways or spending money on roads?
Probably railways.
Exactly. Why? I agree.
Greener and cleaner.
Greener and cleaner. I mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, they carry more passengers, don't they?
They
I
do.
Guess.
Yep. Yep. And they don't emit as many chemicals and carbon dioxide fumes and stuff like that.
Exactly. So if mm-hmm. I wanted to show that comparison then in my essay, mm-hmm. I could write two sentences like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Railways are an environmentally friendly form of transport with relatively little carbon emissions per passenger.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. That's my mm-hmm. sentence about full railways.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, many cars often carry just one passenger and emit not only carbon but other poisonous gases into the atmosphere.
Very good.
So, in terms of the language, mm-hmm. it's relatively simple. I've just got the sentence that describes the truth about railways. They're environmentally friendly. And mm-hmm. then the sentence that tells the truth about gases. They carry only one passenger. And between them, I use the transition in contrast. So I'm stopping and I'm starting the second sentence with in contrast. Okay. So I think, personally, I think in contrast is the best transition signal if you're comparing two items.
Yeah.
Could we use on the other hand?
No.
I not agree, really. Nick. Why no. not?
Because that's usually used for paragraphs, isn't it? Rather than in the middle of a paragraph for different ideas.
Yeah. I think on the other hand is good, as you just said, is good to transition before like the advantages paragraph and the disadvantages paragraph. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it feels a bit too strong in the middle. Can you use however?
It's not. I would say no. I would say it's not really strong enough of a contrast, is it really?
I agree. I mean, you could, but yeah. I would say...
In contrast, you know, is much better.
In contrast is probably the best word that you can use. And if you're only going to use, I would imagine, one of these sort of sentences in the essay... That would be the transition signal that I used.
Mm-hmm.
So that is basic comparing 101. You've got one sentence for railways, one sentence which gives the opposite information or the comparison information for cars, and we join them with in contrast. If you wanted to, maybe if you were making a shorter comparison or you wanted to show the examiner a more complex sentence, instead of stopping after the first sentence and starting the new one with in contrast, we could make a complex sentence using what would be good subordinators to show contrast between two ideas.
While?
Yes.
Whereas?
I think while or whereas are fantastic subordinators. Now, the only problem with those words, Nick, is that oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Do students use them incorrectly?
Incorrectly. All the time.
All the time. So, just to be very clear, whereas and while are completely different types of words to in contrast.
They are.
If you don't understand why, don't worry. I can't teach you that, though, here. Go to our website, www.myiotsclassroom.com, and watch the second lesson in the grammar course. It's called Three Types of Contrast. It's completely free, and it will go in depth into, you know, why they are different, how they are different. But the basic thing to remember is simply, whereas, you know, when you use in contrast, we are stopping the first sentence, aren't we?
Yep, with a full stop.
With a full stop, and we start the second sentence with in contrast, and we put a comma after it. You must never, 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 never do that when you use whereas. Whereas is subordinator. It's the same type of word as because or if. That means it needs to join two clauses together. So it doesn't matter if you start a sentence with whereas or if it comes in the middle, never put a comma after whereas and make sure it's always joining two clauses.
Yeah.
So Nick, do you want to join? So I just read out the in contrast sentence. Why don't you sort of read that again, but we'll make it now using whereas in the middle.
Okay. Railways are an environmentally friendly form of transport as they can carry hundreds of passengers, whereas many cars often carry just one passenger, especially during rush hour.
Very nice. So if you can see there, the key thing, you know, when you're using whereas and while, there should be what we call strong contrast. Think of it like, you know, you're saying black and white, right? While Australia is hot, Russia is cold. Hot and cold are opposites, right? You need strong contrast. Here, the sentence that Nick just made was perfect because we've got the contrast. What's the contrast in that sentence you just made?
A number of passengers, the type of transport can carry. So trains can carry lots. Cars often just carry one, maybe two.
Exactly. So we've got that strong contrast. Hundreds of passengers compared to one or two passengers. So I would say, in terms of grammatical complexity, joining those clauses with whereas is would score more points. But I wouldn't think about it like that because the in contrast sentence is actually also equally as good. And I think you can have longer sentences which are joined, can't you, with in contrast? They are brilliant. And what I like about, you know, in contrast or whereas is that the language you use inside the sentences is just normal sentences. We're not using any comparison language like bigger, longer, more. You don't need it.
Nope.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like those sentences and they are great. But what I realized recently is that when students make comparisons using while or whereas, mm-hmm. well, I think there can be a problem. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'm going to read you three sentences, mm-hmm. and you see if you can work out what the problem I think is, okay?
Are the same problem in all of them? Or?
It's the same problem in all three.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one. So I've used the questions again. So we've got the railway and road questions, the activity questions, and mm-hmm. the why are people travelling more questions. Okay, so sentence number one. It can be comfortable travelling long distances by rail, whereas in a car, it can be tiring for the driver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using my best reading voice, Nick. Second one. Children who take part in group activities can learn the value of working as a team and how to communicate with other members of the group, whereas those who spend time on their own do not have this chance. Three. In the past, it was expensive to fly to another city, but now it is relatively cheap.
Okay.
So, in terms of grammar, there is mm-hmm. nothing wrong with any of those sentences,
yep, all good.
Right? They're mm-hmm. all good. But I don't know if I've done it clearly enough, Nick, but can you guess what the problem is that I'm trying to show, maybe?
You're not actually comparing anything here.
In what way?
Well, you've said in the first sentence, it can be comfortable travelling long distances by rail, whereas in a car, it's tiring. But that's obvious. If it's comfortable by train, then we know by car it's going to be tiring. Children
exactly.
who take part in group activities can learn this and this and this, whereas those who don't cannot. Well, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the same way, if we said in the past it was expensive to fly.
Now we know it's cheap then.
Now we know it's cheap.
Yeah.
So I think the problem students get into when they're making comparisons is mm-hmm. they write a really nice first sentence, which sort of like the beginning of a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
which shows the advantage probably or the benefit.
Yeah.
But then they continue to write the rest of the sentence and the comparison is kind of pointless. It's repetitive, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You don't need a long explanation of the fact that it's tiring to drive long distances in a car. That's obvious, right? Yeah. So the way that I think we can get around this problem, the way we can make the comparison, but we don't have to describe sort of like both parts equally, mm-hmm. is we can use this amazing phrase, unlike.
Mm.
So if we think about our first sentence,
mm-hmm.
right? So instead of saying, it can be comfortable traveling long distance by rail, whereas in a car, it can be tiring for the driver. Mm. What's the most important clause there, Nick? What's the thing that we want to make sure we tell?
Or comfortable traveling long distances by rail, I think.
So we want to keep the sentence about the yeah. railway.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than then actually saying, whereas in a car it can be tiring, we can replace that by just saying, unlike traveling in mm-hmm. a car.
Yeah.
So we could say, unlike traveling in a car, it can be comfortable traveling long distances by rail.
Mm-hmm.
So that unlike going by car just tells the examiner, I am comparing traveling by a car, I know you understand what that is, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need to explain that it's tiring for the driver.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, you know, that sentence, children who take part in group activities can learn the value of working as a team and how to communicate with other members of the group, whereas those who spend on time on their own do not have this chance.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most important sentence there?
Again, the first part of it.
The first part.
The
so
positives
how could we
of being in a team.
Exactly. So how could we use unlike here? What would the unlike sentence be?
We could say unlike children who spend time on their own.
Yeah.
Those who da-da-da-da-da-da. And we've got the positive yes. from being in a group. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So we're just using unlike with the part that we won't explain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one about flying, in the past, it was expensive to fly to another city.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to keep here?
I think we should focus on the cheap part.
I agree. We want to focus on the cheap mm-hmm. part. Yeah. So what are we going to say then for the unlike?
Because well, we could say
mm-hmm.
unlike 20 or 30 years ago, depending on what you want to say.
Brilliant.
Or unlike the end of the previous century.
Yeah.
Something like that.
unlike a decade ago, unlike 20 years ago. So I don't think you want to say unlike in the past. That sounds a bit...
That's not right.
No, a bit trivial. But you can just say, unlike 20 years ago, it is now relatively cheap to fly to another city. Mm-hmm. So that unlike, I think, is a fantastic way of sort of adding more sophistication to your sentence, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So you don't have sentences like, you know... now it's cheap, whereas in the past it was expensive. Where, unlike the past, it is now cheap. That's a whole other level. So let's do a bit of practice. So let's imagine in the lesson we did a few weeks ago, Nick, about social, you know, essays which talk about change. Mm-hmm. One of the questions we looked at was, nowadays we are producing more rubbish than ever. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening?
Right.
So this is a question which is asking us, you know, we're producing more rubbish than ever before now. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? So we're probably going to want to make some comparison to the past.
Yep.
So what is different today compared to, say, 20 years ago, why we're producing more rubbish? So play along at home. See, you know, pause the tape now. What would your unlike sentence be? Unlike 20 years ago, finish that sentence. What is happening now that wasn't happening 20 years ago? How would you finish it, Nick?
Oh, there's quite a lot of things I could say here. I could say, for example, unlike 20 years ago, more people have access to a car nowadays. Which, you know, they use to shop. Or I could say, unlike 20 years ago, people have much less free time and prefer to shop all in one go.
So they're buying more stuff because they're bored.
Or you could say, unlike 20 years ago, people buy more... consumer goods.
Yeah, just in general. Definitely.
Just people just buy more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My one was, unlike, I was going to say, a decade ago, most people today shop in large supermarkets in which every item of food is wrapped in packaging. Because I would say in the past, you know, people used to shop in small shops, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
They'd buy their apples and pears and they weren't wrapped. I mean... there's lots of stuff. So, but essentially using that unlike a decade ago or unlike 20 years ago is a really great way of comparing without actually having to compare, basically. Mm-hmm. There's another question that we've got. So I think that's a great way from the past to now. If you're actually comparing two things. So there's another essay we've got, which is, it says, many children are spending more and more time playing with electronic games and less time with other toys and games. Mm-hmm. Why is this? So let's think about this. So, you know, we would probably want to be comparing electronic games then with sort of traditional toys and games. Mm-hmm. So let's try and make an unlike sentence that starts with, unlike most traditional games, what's different about electronic games? How could you finish that sentence?
Well, you could say that children can play electronic games on their own.
Yes.
Which is a big thing.
Huge thing, isn't it? Like, you need two people to play chess, don't you?
Yep. You need two people to play snakes and ladders.
Yeah. Or any sort of outside games. But yeah, unlike most traditional games, children can play electronic games on their own. Mm-hmm. If you didn't use unlike here, the sentence you would use would be something like, you know, children can play electronic games on their own, whereas they need a partner to play a traditional game. There's nothing wrong with that sentence, but it just feels a bit simplistic, doesn't it? Because it's obvious what the difference is. Mm-hmm. So just say, unlike traditional games, children can play electronic games on their own. Or unlike most traditional games, electronic games are more interactive and their level changes as you progress. I mean, you can make any comparison, but the only thing you need to make that comparison is that unlike phrase at the beginning. The language we use in the second clause is the same as any normal sentence. So that's what I like. It's a way of comparing that means you don't actually need to know any comparative language. And for some of my students, that's a real blessing, particularly my friends from India, Pakistan and Bangladesh. I don't know why, but we really struggle making comparisons. Okay, let's move on though to the third way of comparing, which is actually using, Nick, what you and I would call comparative
language.
So why don't we go through, what are the basic rules? I mean, these are things which we teach at elementary, aren't they? But if you're going to be comparing, I don't know, an elephant and a mouse, or two countries? What are the rules that we use when we make comparisons?
Well, the simplest way is to take a one-syllable word.
Yeah.
Like big or small. And just add ER on the end. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we could say India is bigger than the UK, or a mouse is smaller than an elephant.
Exactly. So essentially, that ER on an adjective is what we need. And as Nick said, any one-syllable adjective. So big, small, fun. Mm-hmm. Can't think of any other one-syllable. Tall, fat. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is add ER. Now, if your adjective, can I remember the rule? If your adjective, if there is a vowel before the final consonant, so for example, in the word big, you've got an I before the G, then you have to double the G. Is that the spelling rule?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Fatter with double T.
Yes, two T's because we've got the A. So that is the easiest way. So for one syllable adjectives, we just add ER. It's a simple rule, right? I think there's another simple rule for three syllable adjectives, isn't there?
Yeah. So if you've got a long word, like expensive or intelligent, then we don't need to change anything. You just put more before it.
You just stick in the word more, right? So yeah, the UK is more expensive than India. Or an elephant is more intelligent than a mouse. So again, not difficult, right? One syllable ER, three syllables more. The tricky thing comes then when we've got two syllables. So what are the rules for two syllables?
Well, usually if the word ends in Y.
Yeah.
Like funny or busy or healthy. It's a big problem. We get a lot of people writing more healthy when it should be healthier.
Yeah, so you add the I-E-R.
Yeah, so you remove the Y, add I-E-R. So, for example, Shelley is funnier than Nick.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Is that true?
No.
Not sure about that one.
No.
People who live in the city are busier than those who live in the countryside would be another
exactly,
one.
Exactly, yeah, because busy, yeah. Two syllables ends in a Y. The tricky thing is, though, if you have a two-syllable adjective that does not end in Y, there's not that many, but I guess you would have, like, maybe the word modern.
Yeah, more modern rather than moderner.
Then we use more, exactly, right? So you could say London is more modern than St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. So it's not that difficult, basically. One-syllable adjectives, ER, three syllables more. And if you've got two, you've got to look at the last letter, right? If it's a Y, it's ER. And if there's no Y, it's more. Mm-hmm. Now, those sentences are fine. If you want to make them a little bit more complex, you could start adding adverbs, right? Mm-hmm. So rather than just saying, you know, UK is more expensive than India, you could say the UK is, what if there was a small difference, Nick?
Slightly more expensive.
Yes.
A little bit more expensive.
A little more expensive. Yes, exactly. If there's a big difference, we could say the UK is
way more expensive than India.
Way more expensive. Yeah, good. Or far more expensive than India.
Much more expensive.
Or a lot more expensive than India. Now, the other word you can use is much. But the problem with much is that it can lead students to making mistakes, right? So again, if we're going to say far, it would be like far more expensive, or India is far bigger than the UK, right? So we're just adding far between our or our more. I think the problem is what happens is that when students use the word much, they automatically always say much more. I'm not sure why they do that. So Let's read the first sentence. Eating in a restaurant is much more expensive than cooking food at home. Is that a good or a bad sentence, Nick?
That's good, because you've just added more. You've just added much to before more expensive.
Yeah, so the original comparison is more expensive and we've just added much. What about this one? Going to the theatre is something to enjoy, but smartphones have made our movie experience much more better.
No.
Why is that one bad?
That's because we can never use more before better or worse or any comparison that ends in ER, because the comparison is ER.
Yes, exactly. So the better there is the comparison, isn't it? It is just much better. You can't say more better, just like you can't say more funnier or more bigger or more taller, because you are then saying more. So make sure if you add much, just add, write the comparison first and then add much, because sometimes you will need to say have much more together, but that's because the comparison is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I've explained that one clearly enough. Have a look at the blog post that goes with this to make sure you get it right. The other danger areas then with making comparisons, mm-hmm. I've noticed, Nick, a lot of our students, if they're making like a list of comparisons,
right,
they often have a problem. Let me read you these two sentences. Mm. See if you can hear the problem. First, houses are often more spacious and roomy than apartments. Mm. And cleaning, repairing, and refurbishing apartments is usually easier as they are much smaller and more handy than a house. I don't know how a house can be more handy, but anyway, what's happened in these sentences?
Well, they've not used the right form, because roomy should be roomier, shouldn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yes. So they've said, because they've got a list, they said mm-hmm. houses are more spacious. That's mm-hmm. good, because mm-hmm. spacious is two syllables, yep. no Y. Mm-hmm. But roomy ends in an R, a Y, so it should be...
Roomier.
Roomier. So you've got to make sure you've got the same thing. Mm-hmm. Same for the second one, right? Houses are much smaller. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller and more handy.
Handier.
No more, just and handier mm-hmm. than a house. However, I have to say...
Handier is not really...
handier is not a good description for an apartment. But mm-hmm. anyway, that is what a sentence that our students wrote. So mm-hmm. if you're writing a list of comparatives, make sure each adjective in the list is following the rules. The last one then is, I think, you know, when we're making these comparisons...
Mm-hmm.
It's not just bigger, taller, more expensive, more beautiful. It's not just that that makes the comparison. What's the other magic word that we need?
Oh, the word than, of course.
We need than. Now, mm-hmm. for some reason, a lot of students think that having than on its own is enough to make a comparison. It's not, right? You need the ER or the more mm-hmm. and the than. So, you know, another sentence from our student that I got last week, mm-hmm. we are getting busy day by day than before. Mm. Well, we've got the than.
We don't have a comparative adjective though, do we?
We don't. So what should the good sentence be?
We are getting busier.
We are getting busier day by day. Now, do we need to say than before?
No, it does sound right here. We are getting busier day by day. It would be fine, I think.
I think there are sentences where the comparison is obvious and you don't need to say than
mm-hmm.
you know, before. Obviously, you're comparing to before. You just say, we are getting busier day by day.
Hey, this is Sachin, and my favorite IELTS classroom lesson is complex sentences.
Hi, this is Monteet Singh. My favorite my IELTS classroom lesson is collapse sentences.
This is my IELTS classroom.
This is my IELTS classroom.
This is my IELTS classroom.
So, those are our comparative adjectives. And I would say, Nick, to be honest, like, if you are making comparisons, the more, and the than, that's the sort of basic, I don't think it's the easiest, but it's the most classic way of making a comparison, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
Now, it's the one that, as we've just seen, our students do make mistakes with, but it is one I think you should really practice if, you know, you're aiming for sort of a 7 or a higher. So why don't we have do a practice? So let's go back to that discuss both sides question mm-hmm. about children in organized group activities or learning how to occupy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't we try and think of one argument
mm-hmm.
why it's better... See the comparison for children to learn how to occupy themselves on their own. Mm. So what could you come up with for an argument for that side?
I think I would say probably that they can find out what they're interested in much faster.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you were writing that argument, you know, mm-hmm. if you said children who spend time on their own learn to occupy, what do you say, learn what they...
Learn well. You can maybe say what they learn what they like and dislike much faster.
Much faster. Do you mm-hmm. think you need to add much faster than children who take part in organized groups? Is it do you actually need to specifically say that?
Well, no, because of the implication.
Think you do. it is implied, mm-hmm. isn't it? So I often think for these essays, we often just say much faster, much better, much quicker. You don't need to add the than.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. My argument would be children who spend time on their own are usually far more imaginative,
mm-hmm.
as they have to learn to entertain themselves.
Yeah, okay.
Same idea. Now, that far more imaginative, that's just what we've been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You could also, I think a lot of, whenever we make comparisons, we tend to say more, mm-hmm. don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You could also say less. So we could change the sentence and say children who spend time in groups are usually far less imaginative,
mm-hmm.
As they don't have to entertain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing with more is that you can actually, instead of using more with the comparative adjective, the expensive, you can also use it with a noun.
Yeah.
So instead of saying imaginative, mm-hmm. which is an adjective, what's the noun for imaginative?
Imagination.
Imagination. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying are far more imaginative, mm-hmm. we could say children who spend time on their own usually have...
A far better imagination, a far deeper imagination.
A far better imagination, a far deeper imagination. Mm-hmm. Exactly, right? So when you're making these comparisons, don't forget sometimes to use less. I think that can add a little bit of spice if you're using a lot of comparisons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than more, mm-hmm. why not have less?
More, less.
Less is more, mm-hmm. yeah. And remember that you don't always need to be using those adjectives. You know, if you're talking about traffic on a road, for example, you could say cities have far more traffic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice comparison if you were comparing, you know, to the countryside.
Yeah.
But we're saying traffic instead of... There's no adjective for traffic.
An adjective, yeah.
I don't know what. Trafficative. There. All right. So they are the basics of comparing. Adding those adverbs, adding far or way or much is a good way of making those more complicated. But mm-hmm. for some of our students, just getting the basic components, the correct adjective with the or the more and the than, I will be happy.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth and final way then that we compare is, I guess one of my favourites, is when we, instead of using like more and than or and than, we're going to use as.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we have like as with an adjective and mm-hmm. then another as. So it would be something like London is as expensive as Moscow,
mm-hmm.
for example. Now, mm-hmm. when we say as expensive as, what's the relationship there then? Which one is more expensive?
Well, there isn't one. We're saying it's the same, aren't we?
We are saying it is the same, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could say something like women are as intelligent as men.
The same.
Equal. Mm-hmm. The same, right? Now, I think I use this joke in my course, but the important thing about as is if you use one as... You can't use one as, right? If you use one as, no. The joke I always make on my course, what is the joke, Shelley, is if never make two, oh yeah, never use one as or I will kick your as. That's the joke, right? So if you use one as, you've normally made a mistake. It has mm-hmm. to be as intelligent as,
that's
as
true.
Expensive mm-hmm. as, right? All you need though in the middle this time is just the adjective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess the thing is really is that often things are not usually equal, are
That's
they,
true,
in life?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying just women are as intelligent as men,
mm-hmm.
we can add other words to show that one is more intelligent than the other.
Yep.
So if I said women are almost as intelligent as men,
mm-hmm.
who is more intelligent in that sentence?
In that case, men, slightly more intelligent.
Just a little bit more intelligent, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. if I said women are almost as intelligent as men, what would be another word instead of almost as intelligent there?
Almost as intelligent. Nearly as intelligent.
Nearly as intelligent. Mm-hmm. So if you add those words like almost or nearly, you're saying that there is a difference, but it's a small difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some may say men are nearly as intelligent as women.
Mm.
That's your personal opinion, right? Which you can have. Now, if there's a big difference... Instead of saying almost or nearly, we could use, I really like this, nowhere near.
Mm-hmm.
So you could say something like, you know, living in the countryside is nowhere near as expensive as mm-hmm. living in a city. That is nice. You can also, in these sentences, add the word just.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just sounds like it's almost or nearly. But if I said women are just as intelligent as men,
mm-hmm.
what does that just do in that sentence?
We're saying they're the same.
Yes.
But it's adding a little bit more context here that it's like something you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, it's like something you wouldn't believe. Yeah. 100%. I mm-hmm. think it's almost sort of emphasizing, no, we're equal. Women mm-hmm. are just as intelligent as men. Don't mm-hmm. tell me men are more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not one you could use in writing, but that could be a nice one in speaking.
For speaking, maybe. Yeah, sure, definitely.
You know, mm-hmm. old people are just as adaptable as young people or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But the key thing is, if you're going to use this, you're going to have to use two as-is. That is the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just do a little practice. Let's go back to that question about, you know, children spend more time playing with electronic games mm-hmm. and less time with other toys and games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can think of an as comparison. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. what would we say?
Well, you could say traditional games are nowhere near as interactive as electronic games.
Ooh, very good. That's a great comparison. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess if you're making these, if you've got one of these essays which requires a comparison,
mm-hmm.
I think the problem for a lot of students is they tend to rely a lot on more, don't they?
Yeah.
Quicker, faster, more interesting, more. But if you could use an unlike phrase, you know, unlike traditional games, blah, blah, blah. If you could use an in contrast, if you could use an as expression,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be making the same comparisons, but you're going to be doing it linguistically.
Differently, like, very differently. Mm-hmm.
Very different sentence structures and you're... grammar score is going to go through the roof. So then, just to finish this little section, one thing I've noticed, it seems to be, a lot of these examples have come from two or three students of ours from India. But what I've noticed is when students want to make a comparison, rather than, you know, looking towards as or more than or than, they seem to just think that they can stick the phrase compared to.
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Or compared as compared to.
Oh, as compared to.
Which
my goodness.
Worse.
Right. Just into these sentences and it's like, da-da, I've made a comparison. It's like, no, you haven't. You've just added the word compared to into a sentence. So... again, all real examples from our students. I am going to read a sentence that has tried to make a comparison by using compared to. It doesn't work. Let's see if you can now, having finished this lesson, change this sentence to being a genuinely good
mm-hmm.
comparison. So the first sentence, Nick, is the houses are bigger compared to the past. How would we change that to be a correct comparison?
Well, we could say houses today are bigger than in the past.
Right. So instead of saying compared to the past, if mm-hmm. we've got bigger, we need than, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
So the houses are bigger than the past. So this mm-hmm. is a clear example where a student, instead of just using than, they've used compared to.
Than in the past, not than the past.
In the past, exactly. Mm-hmm. You could, mm-hmm. though, just say... as you said, houses mm-hmm. today are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You almost don't need to say...
And
you know,
it's implied, isn't it, that it's compared to the past because we've got today.
Because we've got today. Now, obviously, mm-hmm. you would want to add more information to that mm-hmm. sentence, right? Houses today are bigger, so they require more electricity to heat or something, right? But mm-hmm. you definitely don't need to say compared to the past. And I don't even think you need to say than the past. Okay, now this example comes... actually, not from an essay, but from a letter. Okay, so I would like to bring to your attention the reason as to why children are not visiting the park frequently these days compared to the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would like to bring to your attention the reason as to why. That's not important.
Mm-hmm.
So let's focus on this bit again. Children are not visiting the park frequently these days compared to the past. So
I would,
what are we comparing here? Frequently.
Yeah, the frequency of people visiting the park. So I would say children are not visiting the park as frequently as they used to.
Oh, Nick, that's so beautiful. So the key thing is here, I think with frequently, we need the as-is, don't we?
Yeah, we
as-as. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say, you could say people are not visiting the park as frequently as in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That would be better than what she's got, because mm-hmm. that is a real comparison. But what you said is perfect. As frequently as they used to
mm-hmm.
is much more natural, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Let's look at another one then. People can interact with each other easily as compared to the past.
Oh dear.
It's the same thing again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So how have we changed that? People can interact with each other easily as compared to the past.
Well, we'd need to say more before easily, because easily is an adverb, so it needs a...
Yeah.
It needs a more before, or less.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So more, and then I guess if we've got a more, we're going to need a than.
Mm-hmm.
So people can interact with each other more easily than...
Before?
Before. I mean, we could say in the past, or we could just say people can interact with each other more easily today.
Today. Mm-hmm.
And then just say because and mm-hmm. finish that sentence. Yeah. So that was, as you said, that was an as compared to the past. All right, Nick, final one. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Living in the countryside is much fresh compared to living in the city.
Oh, dear. Much fresh. Well.
So, how... Yeah, go on.
So, could we really say living in the countryside is much fresher? I think we would have to say the air in the countryside is much fresher.
Yes. Exactly. Because I'm not sure it's like, hey, my life in the countryside is much fresh mm-hmm. compared to your life in the city. Yeah, I think you're right. The air in the countryside is much fresher.
Than that of than in the city.
Than in the city. Or again, you don't even need... If the whole essay is about cities and the countryside,
yeah,
you can just say the air in the countryside is much fresher.
Or you could say, unlike the city, the air in the countryside is much fresher.
And then, my friends, we've come full circle.
We've come full circle.
to the ways that we can mm-hmm. compare. Now, I actually think, you know, we've gone through this quite quickly. We have a whole lesson on the basic mm-hmm. comparisons in the course. And there are other ways to make comparisons, right? I've chosen not to do today. You can also do, you know, the comparative, like, you
the
know,
more
the more you,
the more, mm-hmm.
yeah, the more you study, the easier it becomes. But I think for some of you, you know, if you remember nothing from this lesson, just remember the unlike comparison.
That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah.
The contrast comparison, because they are basic and simple, but actually they read at a very high level. And mm-hmm. it's not something I see very often in people's essays. And I think would impress the examiner. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I thought we'd do at the end of this lesson, as you know, there's nothing we like more than when we make Nick work. Although we've looked at this in the context of essays, obviously, a lot of this language we're going to use in our speaking test as well, right? Mm. When we're asked to make some comparisons. So I thought I would... I've just chosen some compare questions.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to do, Nick, is I just want you to answer them naturally if you can. I mean, I know that I put you on the spot here.
I'll try.
But what we'll do is we'll answer them naturally. And, you know, you may find that you don't use any of the expressions that we've just spoken about, or you use many of them. But basically, why don't you answer the questions? And people at home listening, why don't you write down any comparisons that you hear Nick make? Okay. And if you hear him make any mistakes, you're not listening properly, because he's not going to make any.
Well, we'll see.
All right. We'll see. All right. So, Nick, is it more enjoyable to do free time activities inside or outside?
Oh. You're talking to somebody who doesn't do any activities.
Me too.
Okay, so part three questions, I guess, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think they would be, yeah.
I think in general, probably, free time activities are more fun to do outside because there's more space, the air is much fresher. it's just more enjoyable, I think, overall. I think if you do indoor activities, you're much more restricted.
Right.
I think, you know, this is a tough question, actually. I don't really know what to say.
I think you've answered it. I mean, I think the problem is that we tend to spend most of our time indoors these days.
Yeah,
we
do,
so
especially
for
today.
Me, mm-hmm. Yeah, when I get some free time, I'd much rather go outside.
Mm-hmm. For exactly personal experience.
What you said. Sorry. When people, they tend to go outside. Well done. All right. Do you think young people and old people have the same attitude to change?
Absolutely not. I think it's very, very different. I think old people in general are actually pretty horrified at the pace of change sometimes. I think young people have an insatiable desire for change that just seems to never end. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually quite worrying for me in some ways because I think, personal experience.
Well, yeah, I think as you reach middle age, I think that's what I've realized recently is that mm-hmm. I'm definitely becoming middle aged because I see change as something more to be afraid of now, yeah. I think, mm-hmm. than something to be embraced, definitely.
And I think, I think it might actually come to a head at some point in the near future. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've got people in government who are from the same generation that they've always been from the 50s. Like the people in government seem to get older and older and older.
Yeah.
And their population seems to get younger and younger and younger. And the disconnect between them gets bigger and bigger. And I think, unfortunately, it looks like something in the future is going to have a big clash is going to happen in the Western world.
I think that's true, Nick. Yeah. Hmm. There's definitely sort of like the generational gap is becoming wider, isn't it? It's wider.
Much wider.
Guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike 30 years ago when there was a gap, but it didn't seem as big.
Well, that is true. Nice use of that. Okay. Now, sometimes IELTS ask questions and I just think, what a stupid question, because everyone's going to give the same answer. Nick, is it better for a person to show their emotions or to hide them?
I'm going to go against the grain here.
Good.
I think it's better for a person to hide their emotions unless it's completely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think too many people show their emotions today, and I think we've lost a sense of decorum in society. Though we may not, I don't know. I'm joking, to be honest. But I think it's not good to show your emotions all the time. I think it's unnecessary. I think it's important to show your emotions to the right people and at the right time. But it's not important, in my opinion, to show every emotion all the time in public. I think that's completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. I think that could be a good, you know, it depends, really. It depends,
yeah, it
on
depends.
The circumstances.
It depends on the situation, you know? Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're at home,
mm-hmm.
And something's getting too big, it's getting on top of you, for example, then you should definitely speak to your parents, your family. Mm-hmm. If you're at work and something's annoying you, maybe you can have a quiet chat with your boss and, you know, get a bit emotional and talk about it. But I think, yeah, in a public setting or in a big room of people, I think to have some kind of big explosion of emotion is probably not the best idea.
I totally agree.
But it does happen, and it's happening more than it used to, I would say.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that people today definitely, unlike 20 years ago, seriously, people today sort of feel that they can show their emotions more
mm-hmm.
in work settings. I don't know if that's better or not, but I think sometimes it's better just to have a bit of air of professionalism,
mm-hmm.
we can say. Now, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember a life before the invention of the computer? Doesn't matter. No personal experience. Do you think life was better before the invention of the computer?
This is a very difficult question.
Mm.
And I would probably lean towards saying yes. To be honest, you can see with these answers how old I'm getting now, can't you?
A little bit. Why is that? Why do you think it may have been better before?
I think it was better. Well, I think it was. I think there was a stronger sense of community in local areas. I think now all those communities, like before, nothing really brought people together. It was just maybe some shared values, but definitely a shared street, a shared school, a shared post office, a shared church, or something like that. And I think communities today still exist. and they're probably thriving, but you don't know the people personally in your community. Like, you'll have very, very small communities for, like, Ferrari enthusiasts, or
like online communities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Or you can, like, any interest that you have in anything, there is someone else out there with definitely that interest. And I think it's great that you can find them, and the computer allows you to share those interests with people that have the same passions as you. Mm-hmm. But I think it's had a very negative effect on the world around us, like our physical local locations. I think, like, people definitely don't speak to each other as much. People mm-hmm. don't know each other, like neighbors and stuff like that. And I think that's directly, I think that can be directly blamed on computers.
No, I agree. Yeah. I sometimes think back to when I was a child, how much of my childhood was me feeling bored. But actually, feeling bored was what sparked my creativity, you know, because yeah. we used to spend hours, you know, doing things now, which I would, you know, if someone said to me now, do you want to do a jigsaw? I'd be like, do you want to shut up? But actually, I quite enjoyed it.
No, I agree. The same was for me as well. Like, we had lots of fun. Like, I think it was like 11 or 12 when we got the internet. And I remember the first day we got the internet, because me and my best friend spent 9 hours on MSN Messenger being wow. like, oh my God, this is so cool. We can talk to each other. Like all day. And what we'd been doing before that was just hanging out together in the street, but now we didn't need to because we could type about it. Yeah.
So it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. All right, now this is important because both of us are moving house at the minute. Ooh. So do you think living in a nice place mm-hmm. is more important than having a good job?
I think that's an impossible question to answer because I don't think these two things are related at all.
Yes.
And yeah, I find this question a bit strange, but I would say living in a good place is important. I think it's important to live in a place that makes you happy, that makes you feel comfortable, where you feel relaxed. I think yeah. if you're in a place that there's something wrong with, it can affect other things in your life, including work.
Yes, and maybe I guess where you live is where, like you say, is like your safety net, mm-hmm. like safety zone, isn't it? So if you don't feel relaxed there.
I think if we talk about now, 2021, lockdown world, COVID world, then probably it's not that important because people are working from home. But if we go back 5 or 6 years, if you wanted to live close to your work, you probably had to pay a higher price mm-hmm. for the rent. And that probably meant that some people were skimping on rent, living further away to try and save a bit money, probably not in the best area. Mm-hmm. And in that case, I would say that probably having a good job is better than living in a nice place.
In at the least, city, I think you're at least
for
right.
yeah, at least for a while, until you can save up a bit of money.
Yeah, so it's better to have the good job and sort of live a bit further away and mm-hmm. commute to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So there's often quite, you know, questions about today and the past are quite common. So let's finish on one of those. So right. what are the differences between the cause of stress today mm-hmm. and in the past?
I think the causes of stress today have become much more simpler. I can't say more simpler, can I? Sorry. The causes today of stress today have become much simpler. Well, we get stressed by simple things.
And I think okay.
things like the computer or the phone or something somebody said on Facebook or something like that. And uh-huh. I think in the past, it was much more common for people to not get stressed about these little things. Like today, for example, nobody wants to wait 20 minutes in the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the past, probably you wouldn't have really thought about it. Because
you're absolutely right. I mean, I think maybe a good word for that would be trivial things.
Trivial things, yeah.
Yeah, like today, you know, exactly, you know, before we record each week, I'll probably come on and complain about something tiny that happened in the week. But a century ago, they're probably happy they hadn't died of like meningitis. But
at the same time, I think the biggest causes of stress have got worse. I think. So yes, we stress about lots of trivial things now, but I think people are more stressed about their jobs, mm-hmm. more stressed about how much they work, more mm-hmm. stressed because they sleep less another classic IELTS essay.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, I think people probably got stressed quite a lot, but definitely not over such trivial things. Mm-hmm. And probably not as deeply stressed as they do about the most important things. So it's a bit it's a bit of a paradox, mate.
It is a bit of a paradox there, isn't it, examiner? Nice one. All right. Okay. Well, brilliant, Nick. Thank you very much. Now,
nine.
I tried to keep count of the comparisons, but there were just far too many, to be honest, which is great. So listen back again if you get a chance, because pretty much every single answer was chock-a-block full of the comparisons that we've been looking at today. So I hope this helps. If nothing else, just try to remember, you know, if you just remember, like I said, don't use use unlike and forget compared to. And your comparisons will probably already be 50% better than they were before you started this episode. So that's it, Nick. That is it today. We've got one more episode next week where I will be here before I journey. Maybe you'll already be in your new house.
Hopefully.
Who knows?
I hope so. We'll see.
Everybody will just have to tune in next week to find out. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My IELTS Classroom podcast is a production of My IELTS Classroom Limited. Nick and I do not represent IELTS, and everything you heard in this episode is our own personal opinion. You can find the show notes and transcript for this episode on our blog. That's blog.myieltsclassroom.com. And if you're looking for our video courses, speaking lessons, and marking service, you can find that at www.myieltsclassroom.com. If you have a question or query or just want to chat, you can email Nick and I at hello@myieltsclassroom.com. Our theme music is by Heartbeat, and our artwork is produced by David Brown. Have a great week, study hard, and remember,
this is my IELTS classroom.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.